Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And they appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May my words be of you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the summer of 2019, which feels like a lifetime ago, a completely different universe, I took a sabbatical, and Kip and I went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. One of the sites that we visited was Mount Tabor, which is a place that might have been where Jesus went with his disciples and was transfigured, though no one knows for sure where the location was. Our group had been riding on a bus that day across the flat and fertile Jezreel Valley. Mount Tabor seemed to rise up out of nowhere. There were no rolling foothills, just this sudden elevation jutting up from the valley floor. The road to the top was so steep and winding that only passenger vans could go. So, in small groups, we piled into vehicles and up we went, whipping back and forth, enough to make your stomach queasy, until we reached the top and an expansive view across the valley that was crisscrossed by roads, dotted with olive groves and clusters of houses. Right above us, so close, were wisps of clouds that gave us a sense of being almost near heaven itself. I remember thinking that at one and the same time, Jesus must have felt so close to God, and yet spreading out before him, he could see the very people for whom he had come to die. Such awe and such love at the very same time. I wonder what prompted Jesus to climb a mountain like that. It would not have been a quick or easy journey. I imagine several hours of difficult trekking. Mark only tells us that Jesus went to get away. Maybe he had to climb that far and that high to escape the crowds. This trip up the mountain occurred right after Jesus announced for the first time that he was going to suffer and die. So I wonder if he went up the mountain to get himself ready, to pray, to strengthen his resolve, knowing that what came next would be so very hard. I wonder if he had any sense that something extraordinary was about to happen on the mountaintop. Or maybe he was as surprised as Peter and James and John by the transformation in his body and the intense light. I wonder if he was surprised by the appearance of Moses and Elijah, by the voice and the cloud. There's a group here at St. James that gathers on Tuesday mornings on Zoom to read and reflect together on the scriptures for the coming Sunday. Anyone can become a part of that group. You're welcome to join this week, in fact. This past Tuesday, we wondered about a lot of things. What did Jesus know in advance? What did he understand about himself and his own identity? Why didn't he take more of his disciples up the mountain? Why did he tell the three not to speak of what they had seen? There's a phrase that's often used when someone has witnessed something disturbing or shocking. People say, "You can't unsee something like that." The image is seared into your memory. What happened that day was shocking in a different sort of way, but I don't think that Peter or James or John could unsee it. They would carry it with them always as a kind of inspiration, a gift, if you will, to help them through the hard days ahead. God gave them a gift that would be with them as they headed to Jerusalem. And Jesus' confrontation with the religious leaders and ultimately the Roman Empire. God is like that, anticipating what we need and so often giving us the very thing that will help us on this journey of life. So I'm wondering, what lies ahead of you? This week, we begin the journey of Lent. Imagine Ash Wednesday as a threshold that we will cross, a doorway we will walk through into a different season of the church year, embarking on a spiritual journey that is yet to unfold. Rachel Srubis, in her book called Benedictine Promises for Everyday People, has a section called A Knock at the Door. In it, she says, "Now is a good time to notice the door in front of you, because there always is one. It may simply be the boundary between tonight and tomorrow morning. But what a difference those dark hours can make. Dawn is a door that opens to a day yet unlived. No matter how mundane may be the plans you have made for tomorrow, to get your hair cut, perhaps to pick up a few groceries, with attention and intention, you can knock on the door of morning and find it opens to a world you have never encountered before. Though this day may look a lot like many prior days. Every day you can be a newcomer, even if you're an old timer. May you go knocking." End of quote. No matter how many Ash Wednesdays you have lived in your life, this one is a threshold to a Lenten world you have never encountered before. During these weeks ahead, God will show up and lead us, lead you deeper than you've ever been, deeper into understanding, deeper into love, deeper into faithfulness. It's never an easy journey, Lent, never without its bumps and surprises. So I ask you, what gift do you need? What inspiration to carry with you to help you cross the threshold into Lent, to make this year's journey with Jesus to the cross and through the cross? What gift do you need to sustain and encourage you on the way? And what do you need to do to open yourself to receiving that gift? Jesus, James, Peter, and John went up the mountain to be alone and quiet, to listen and look without distraction. Perhaps Ash Wednesday can be that kind of solitude and preparation for you. Consider making it a quiet day, a day of crossing the threshold, a day of opening yourself, even perhaps in small ways, to whatever gift God will give you for the journey. Amen.